today as we come to the table.
When our eyes are open to the spiritual realm, we go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And so we understand there's a real power there. What's interesting, he brought these magicians, these wise men, these psychics, these mediums. They couldn't do it. Why? Because you see, none of their spirits influenced that dream. God had given this dream. And the demonic realm is limited in their power in that only what they know or are aware of can they speak. This was a dream from God that only God knew the interpretation. And so therefore, there's nothing they could say or do to amaze the Egyptians with. And so again, God, you know, uses this in a particular way here to get Pharaoh's attention, to set Joseph apart so that he would realize Joseph's God knows this and no one else.
When we hear from God and follow His guidance, people will start to wonder why we're so confident in who we are. Today, Pastor Mark says that Joseph was set apart by God so that Pharaoh would see that he was different than the rest. Pharaoh brought in a lot of other people to interpret his dream, but they all failed. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. When we trust in God, He can guide you through anything. He wants to be your rock in hard times. Pharaoh tried to bring others in, but they all failed because they were not of God, but rather trusting in their own strengths. Trusting God allows Him to give you hope even when you don't see it, and you will stand out. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 41, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Graduation day is probably one of the most exciting days in all of our life. Whether it's graduation from high school or whether it's graduation from college or whatever the case might be, maybe some of you is graduation from kindergarten. I never quite understood graduation from kindergarten. I know it's cute and all, but I never quite understood it. But either way, we look forward. I doubt they look forward to that as much as, you know, maybe a cookie afterwards and not really understanding it. But we look forward to the day of graduating. You know, we feel as though we finally have accomplished something. We've gone through all these tests and all these trials over all these years, and finally now it's our day. You know, we get to move the tassel from one side to the next, and we walk the stage, and now we're looking forward to what our life holds in front of us. But you see, in the Christian life, there's the same excitement of a graduation day for the believer. Now, let me be clear on this. There's never a day that we graduate from tests and trials. We're going to have them the rest of our life, and I wish I could say that wasn't the case, but that is the case. However, there is a time where God takes us through many years when we first come to the Lord of training. Again, we've made the analogy of boot camp and going to battle, so to speak. We have to be prepared and ready for what God has called us to do. Joseph has been going through some intense training, some intense trials, some boot camp. Again, a lot longer than many of us have to go through. But you know, the reason is because God was going to use Joseph in greater ways. And I want to say this for some of you. If you've been going through years and years of tests and trials and thinking, Lord, I feel like Joseph going through, you know, one pit to the next, one dungeon to the next, and waiting on you, knowing that you love me, that you've promised to use my life. And yet, Lord, when's it going to happen? It seems that other people spend a few years and they get thrown into some ministry and there they go. And yes, they have tests and trials like I do, but they didn't have to wait all these years for what it was you wanted to do in their life. You know, it might be because God's going to use you in greater ways than He's used other people around you. I look at Moses, and Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. I think, God, you know, 40 years, if you waited 40 years on me, I'll be dead. You know, I look at John the Baptist. He goes out into the wilderness and spends all these years, years and years away from his family and just seeking the Lord, and God uses him in a great way. We see Joseph. You know, years and years, you know, just waiting on God and all this. Daniel, years and years, you know, and God using Daniel, you know, yes, right off the bat. But again, there being sometimes long breaks before God ever really used Daniel in a big way again. And I want you to realize that when God is waiting in those times and God is getting you ready, He's molding and shaping and getting you ready for what He's going to do. So don't be discouraged if you feel you've been waiting on the Lord for a long time and nothing's happening. It might be that the very reason is because God is going to use you in greater ways. And then when that graduation day comes, it's an exciting day. And so we go through the different specific lesson plan that God has for our life. And we move from class to class and test to test. And when the time is right, God says, all right, now it's time to do what I'm going to do. And now we're going to, you know, I'm going to show you the reason of why you went through all this suffering and pain. And I think of Joseph, he must have wondered, why am I going through all this? You know, and then to realize as he looked back in hindsight to see, I know now why I went through this. And some of you can look back now in hindsight and see why you went through what you went through, because God was doing a work in your life. And sometimes it makes no sense until you get years down the road. And then you look back and you say, you know what? Now it makes sense. I understand it. And so again, sometimes we serve the Lord like Joseph did for many years and we don't see a reward. But then suddenly one day, God lifts us out of the dungeon. And he says, now it's graduation day. Now I'm going to use you for what I designed you to be used for. And so you're ready, you're prepared, and let's get going. And so today we're going to see that Joseph remained faithful through thick and thin, through all these years of confusion. And then finally God says, all right, it's time now to pass the baton, to hand the graduation paper, so to speak, and now to get you into where you're supposed to be. And that's where we take up in chapter 41. Notice it says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. And it's interesting, 2 full years. The word full there is interesting because it's almost as if the Holy Spirit is showing us, you know, this was not just 2 years, it was 2 full years. You ever had those? It's like waiting on Christmas when you're a kid. You know, it takes years and years and years, you know, to get there. And then now you're just kind of, you know, hoping you can finally somehow, you know, get your presents, you know, before the next one flies by and you're apologizing, you know, for being late again or whatever it is. The bottom line is that this was a long time for Joseph. And, you know, time, you know, it's like I saw this sign they have down here at Zaxby's. It says 1 minute depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. You know, the bottom line is when you really want something bad, it takes a long time to get there, doesn't it? And when you don't care so much, it seems just to fly by. Well, this was 2 full years and Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Now, again, you know, Joseph had now spent 13 years in Egypt. We don't know how many years he was in prison. We know he was in prison the last time we saw him. We know that 2 full years went by since the last time we saw him. And he thought he was going to get out because he gave the interpretation to the butler and expecting that he would give him a good word and all that. But he's been 13 years as a slave and or a prisoner in Egypt. That's a long time. It's a very long time, especially when you are finding yourself in those conditions. It's one thing to spend 13 years in a place you don't like. It's another thing to spend 13 years as a slave and a prisoner. And so Joseph now has spent these hard years, and again, the Lord has been doing this to mold and shape him. And no doubt he's probably beginning to think, my life's over. God's never going to use me. I'm going to rot in jail. I'm down here for nothing. Who's going to get me out? I mean, what, is Potiphar going to get me out? No, because then it makes his wife look innocent. You know, she's not going to confess anything because then she's going to be in trouble and nobody's going to get me out. I'm here forever. I'm stuck. And no doubt that was the mindset. And yet Joseph made the best of his situation. We talked about that last week. But again, God had different plans for Joseph. And this is where we need to put on our spiritual glasses. To realize that although we may think everything's done and everything's over and God's not going to move anymore in our life, we have to realize God does have future plans for our life. We have to simply be faithful and wait. And that's hard to do. And both of those are a 1-2 punch. They're a combo. You got to be faithful and you have to wait. And you have to trust the Lord. You know, I had many years of anxiousness as a young pastor. And I really can say that I'm in a place now to where I don't have that. And it's a very rewarding place to be. You know, when we first started talking about the building and the building project, you know, man, I was like, come on, let's make this thing happen. And all of a sudden, God drops 43 acres of land in our lap, you know, and for $500,000. And right down the road, there was 16 acres for over $2 million. And I'm like, God, I see your hand in this. I mean, you're blessing us. And then the owner donates over $300,000 to us, you know, for the land. And I see God's hand doing all these things. So in my mind, when I see God doing all these great things, it's going to be like next month. I mean, we're there. God's got it. There's millions are coming in and we're moving up there and God's got this great thing. And now 3 years later, I'm saying, well, another 100,000 off the land, guys, keep praying. Sometimes I feel like Joseph. Sometimes I feel like, Lord, you know what? And I remember being very anxious at first saying, God, why isn't it happening the way I thought it would happen? And then God said, because it's going to happen the way I plan it to happen. And you know what? I have a real peace with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't even plan on mentioning that here. And that's not so much the issue. But the point is, I'm very rested about God's timing on the plan. I am. I'm very rested. I don't drive around anxious thinking, okay, God, how's it going to come in? What are you going to do? You know, should we do a building campaign? No, we're not going to go. Okay, God, what do we do? What do we do? We're just going to wait. We're going to wait on God. We're going to trust in the Lord. And there's a peace in that that comes. And I think that Joseph, and I think that God has really used this portion of scripture to minister to me in our situation, because you know what? There's a rest that comes. After a certain amount of anxious years, you start to rest and say, you know what? I can't make anything happen whether I'm anxious or not. I'm going to rest and wait on God. And I think Joseph was sitting there going, you know what? Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I really believe that you've called me for something more, God. I really believe you're going to do something more than I dreamed or imagined. But you know what? Right now, you've got me in this place, and I'm going to wait on you. And there's a rest that comes in that. Listen, some of you right now are in that place where you've been anxious for a long time, and now God is saying it's time to rest. Lay it down and trust me. Don't get lazy. Don't lose your diligence. Don't stop praying, but just rest and wait on me. And God says, I'll do it. I think Joseph is in this place. And I think it's a place that God needs to get us all to again. And it's interesting, when it's time to move in Joseph's life, notice what God uses. He used dreams again. Pharaoh has a dream, and it seems that God works in Joseph's life in dreams. I don't know why, but he does. And suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. So now Pharaoh has this dream, and he's watching the scene in front of him of these healthy cows standing there just feeding in the meadow. Probably a very pleasant dream at first. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after him out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows, and so Pharaoh awoke. So it starts out kind of a nice little meadow, little cow in the field thing, and then these monster type cows come out, right, and they eat them all up, and he's having this nightmare. He probably wakes up, you know, maybe a little bit panicked, a little bit fearful, you know, and this kind of thing. And so now he goes back to sleep after this very strange and disturbing dream. And notice he slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly, 7 heads of grain come up on one stalk, plump and good. And then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. So again, we see this same kind of situation where he sees these stalks of wheat. Now, your Bible may say corn, but literally it's wheat here. Corn is what they called the head in the wheat in some translations. That this wheat comes up, and it's very healthy looking wheat. And all of a sudden, these ugly, you know, stalks of wheat come up. And they begin to eat up and swallow up these others. So it's the same type of thing. They're blighted by the east wind. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. And so again, now he has this whole disturbing situation going on where he has these dreams. And you have to understand, the Egyptians in that day believed that when they had a dream, the gods were trying to speak to them. So if you had a dream, you're trying to figure out, what are the gods trying to say? Now, some of our dreams are so bizarre, you'd really get confused if you believe that today. You know, but the bottom line is, what are the gods trying to say? So these were very vivid dreams. They were obviously spiritual dreams. Pharaoh recognized these were supernatural. They were not normal. And now he's troubled. And notice, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Now again, who are the magicians and the wise men? You know, get the scene. He calls all the people of the, you know, this of Egypt, the magicians and wise men, to come and say, here's my dream, what does it mean? And the magicians of Egypt, they were known, what we would say today, they were the psychics. They were the mediums. That's what they were. They were the ones who supposedly had spiritual insight and can get in touch with the spiritual realm. And we've got them today. You know, you listen to the radio or you turn your TV on, you've got these people, you know, that are doing these things. These were the magicians and the wise men of the day. That's what their job was to do in this pagan culture that they had there. The problem was, these dreams had no connection to their gods. These dreams had connection to the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And why do I say they had no connection to their gods? Guys, note this. There are true spiritual forces out there besides the true God. I think you realize that. The Bible says there's the devil, and there's his fallen angels. They're the demons. And they can speak, and they can act, and they can move even like God and the angels can. And so when you see these mediums and these psychics and these things, and there seems to be some type of spiritual backing, and you know, maybe you know, 5 out of 10 times they hit something right. The reason being for that is because the spiritual realm is behind them, but it's not God. It's a supernatural demonic realm that contacts these psychics, that contacts these mediums, that speaks through them, you know, and channels through them, so to speak, and tells them things that only the spiritual realm could know, that only the demons could know, or that God could know. And it amazes us because we're shocked by it. How could this be true? How could this really happen? That really came to pass. How did they know that about my closet? You know, how did they know what color I painted my wall? Yes, it was a dark color. And they may not get specific, but you hear these, I sense that you're whatever, and you painted your room in the past year, and you painted it a dark color, and maybe on your east wall, oh, I did. I did paint a dark color on my east wall. This is real, right? Listen, the demonic realm knows you painted your wall, and they know you painted it a dark color. And for those that will listen to their voice and be in tune, all they have to do is put that impression in their mind. And as they speak it, they amaze us because we can't imagine how anyone could know that. But when our eyes are not on the spiritual realm, we don't understand these things. When our eyes are open to the spiritual realm, we go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And so we understand there's a real power there. What's interesting, he brought these magicians, these wise men, these psychics, these mediums. They couldn't do it. Why? Because you see, none of their spirits influenced that dream. God had given this dream. And the demonic realm is limited in their power in that only what they know or are aware of can they speak. This was a dream from God that only God knew the interpretation. And so therefore, there's nothing they could say or do to amaze the Egyptians with. And so again, God, you know, uses this in a particular way here to get Pharaoh's attention, to set Joseph apart so that he would realize Joseph's God knows this and no one else. And then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. He and I, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of our dreams. He said, wait a minute, you guys each had a dream? That's two dreams. Well, I had two dreams. Well, what happened? So now he's got Pharaoh's attention. He said, there was a young Hebrew man that was with us there. He was a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man, he interpreted each one according to his own dream. And so now he's really got Pharaoh's attention. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened, he restored me to my office and he hanged him. And then Pharaoh, and of course, Pharaoh would have remembered this. Yes, that's what happened. And so he sent and called, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved and changed his clothes and came to Pharaoh. Now, a couple of things to note here. Notice he shaved and changed his clothes. First of all, here's Joseph. Now, let me just say this, sitting in this dungeon and imagining that he's going to die and rot there. I'm going to be here forever, Lord. Nothing's going to change. Too many years have gone by. Nothing's happening. And here I sit. And we don't know exactly what was going on in Joseph's mind. But can you imagine when suddenly that knock at the cell door came, so to speak? Joseph, yes, here's some clothes. Change into them and go and shave. The Pharaoh will see you today. What? The Pharaoh's going to see me? Yes. He's had a dream. And someone told him you could interpret it. And I imagine what was running through Joseph's mind as he went and he changed and put on, remember, he had on these prison clothes. He couldn't go before Pharaoh. He was going to the palace, the great world leader of the time. And he couldn't go in his prison clothes. So he puts on the new clothes they give him and he goes to shave. And that day they would, the Egyptians were clean shaven. They not only shaved their faces, they shaved their hair. And so they would be bald and they would be shaved in face. And of course the Hebrews, and especially someone in prison, you know, he probably had a big beard and hair everywhere. It was all grown out. And so now he's got to go and shave all of that off before he goes and stands before Pharaoh. But I think about this is what was racing through Joseph's mind. No doubt thinking, you know, I'm going to be here forever. And suddenly he's going to go and stand before Pharaoh. And suddenly he's got his moment to get out. This is the opportunity he's been waiting for. And no doubt seeing God's hand in the midst of this. And here's what I want us to grasp. You see, what's exciting to me is although he didn't see it coming, it came suddenly and it did come. When you feel like you're stuck in that place, is God ever going to move? Is God going to get me out of my situation where I am? God's going to get you out of it. And when God gets you out of it, he's going to move in oftentimes a very rapid way. And there's the excitement that comes with that. It's like we said at the very beginning, is today our day? Is this graduation day? Maybe it is. Maybe there's something you're facing right now that God's about to lift you out of, and you have no idea he's going to do it. And in your mind, you believe I'm going to be here forever. I will struggle with this sin forever. I will be in this situation forever. I will never be released from this moment forever. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to do it, and it's my timing. And when he does it, it's an exciting thing, and sometimes a rather sudden thing. And now for Joseph, suddenly he's yanked from the dungeon and thrown before the Pharaoh. And notice it says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there's no one who can help interpret it. But I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And notice this, so Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it is not in me. Amazing. Now, I wonder what Pharaoh thought when Joseph said that. He's got all this big billing, right? You know, this guy, he's in the dungeon. He told our dreams in detail and it came to pass exactly. And Pharaoh's thinking, all right, this is the guy. This is my hope. Bring him up. He dresses him up. He shaves him up. He stands before Pharaoh and he says, I've heard about you. I've heard that you can interpret dreams. Tell me the interpretation. And the first thing Joseph says is, I can't do it. I love this. Why do I love this? Because notice he goes on and says this, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In other words, he says, I can't do it. And I wonder if Pharaoh's heart stopped for a moment. He said, but God can. And guys, this is a true sign of maturity and understanding when it comes to the things of the Lord. There is not one of us in this room that has some special ability that only God can use us. But there's also not anybody in this room that God can't use in a special way if we don't submit to Him and allow Him to. You see, here's what Joseph understood that we must understand as believers. Any gifting or ability that Joseph had to do anything came from God and from God alone. And God alone deserves the glory. And what Joseph is saying is, in his humility, and again, this is one of the characteristics of greatness, he was a humble man. And he understood that he didn't have any special ability. You know, it would have been easy to say, well, you know, years ago, I interpreted a dream for my brothers, and I'm still waiting on that to come to pass. But now as I stand before you, I believe that you're going to elevate me, and that'll take place. And I had a dream, of course, I interpreted a dream a couple of years back for a couple of your men, and it came to pass exactly as you said. And now you've come to the right man, Pharaoh. I'm glad that you've seen that. I was held back, but I'm certainly the one that you need to advance. And now what can I do for you? You see, he wasn't a big talker. He didn't lift himself up. He said, you know what? I know who I am. I'm made of the dust of the earth. And there's nothing in me that I have to offer. But my God can offer you more than you ever dreamed or imagined. And if you'll tell me the dream, I will allow my God to speak through me as he has brought me to this point, as he has trained me, as he has prepared me. And I'm going to allow him to do that. But it's all him. And it's nothing to do with me at all. And this is the kind of man that Joseph was, and this is the kind of man and woman that we need to become, you know, that humility and knowing that it's the Lord that does this, and we can't do it and anything of our own. It's completely up to the Lord. And so he says, God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace that he wants. But secondly, I want you to recognize that it's the boldness that Joseph has here. And again, this is another characteristic of maturity in the Christian life, and that is boldness. You know, I think about there's certain people that we might be able to share with. You know, maybe we could share with someone if the moment was right and we really, you know, had our courage up and we shared with them and it's a private thing or whatever. This was a public official. And not just any public official. This would be like standing before the President of the United States and having him be an unbeliever. And having him believe in other gods and having him call you before him to get an answer for something he needs. And you say, you know what? The God that you serve and all these gods, they have nothing for you, but the God that I serve, he can give you an answer. This was an incredibly bold thing that Joseph did. You see, they had multiple gods in Egypt. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh believed that he was a god as well. And they taught the society that Pharaoh was a god. And now this Joseph stands before Pharaoh and says, you know what? It's not the gods that you serve, nor is it you, Pharaoh, but my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will give you an answer. The God that I serve, and they all knew the Hebrews had a different God, you know, than the Egyptians did. They had their own gods. And he says, my God will be the one. And it's interesting here, when he names God, he calls him Elohim. In the original language, it's the word Elohim. And why is that interesting? Because Elohim is the creator. In the beginning, Elohim, you know, created the heavens and the earth. That's the word that's used there. And now Joseph speaks to him about his God, not their gods, but his God is the creator of the universe. And by the way, in other words, he was saying, not only is it not your God, it's my God that created everything. He's over your gods and he's over you, Pharaoh. This is the God that will give you the answer.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385.
Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.